Grief is basically love that got its wings cut off, right? It's like you cannot pour that love anymore into that relationship or that person. So it's like that, the pain of not being able to pour that love into those dreams that you had and that person, it is really, really heartbreaking.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another happy Monday, another episode of None of Your Business. Today is a very none of your businessy kind of day because I was talking to my friend about the topic of breakups. And she was going through a breakup and we both realized that we have learned so much over the years about breakups and about handling business while having a breakup. Handling a breakup while running a business, and then somewhere in between, you kind of have to find yourself, regroup, somehow be present. It's so complicated. And so we shared a cup of tea on a random Sunday. We talked for probably an hour and we were like, you know what? This should be recorded. And so I'm super happy to welcome all of you guys here into this super amazing conversation with one of my best girlfriends here in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. She is a Mexican medicine woman, sacred intimacy coach, and feminine and masculine energetics expert. She leads a movement of powerful women who choose to defy all odds against them and strive to live a deeply fulfilling life of abundance in love, connection, and wealth. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Elisa.
Hi, thank you so much. Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Thank you for saying yes to my invitation. So before we get into the nitty gritty and try not to cry on this, I'm just kidding, on this conversation, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up in this career. It is a very special career and I'm so curious what led you to this path.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, we're gonna try not to cry, right? No, just joking. I've cried enough for the past month and a half, don't worry. So yeah, how did I end up here? That's a really good question. So long story short, I've been, you know, through a very through a very long journey of spiritual awakenings. And it really led me, you know, I always knew, okay, a little bit back of the background, I always knew I wanted to work with people, with human behavior. Like I have a background in psychology. So at 14 years old, I knew I wanted to work with people. You know, that's when I decided I'm gonna study psychology. Then fast forward to university time, that's definitely what I did. But then at the end of the university, I was like, yes, I like it. And I love the topic of psychology, but it's not it. It's not it. It's not what I see myself doing every single day. And then as my own journey of development and healing unfolded, I got into like the spiritual side of things, right? And that's when I started seeing the connection of healing and spirituality with personal development. And when I came into an encounter with coaching, I was like, this is it. This is what I want to do. And, you know, my own healing journey of healing sexual trauma, healing body dysmorphia, healing relationship with food, you know, all the things that I've healed in myself have been really like guides, it's like the guidelines, right? And the more I evolved, the more I healed my own journey, I was like, yeah, this is what I'm meant to do. This is what I'm meant to be helping people with. So after mainly the healing of my sexual trauma, that's exactly what led me to being an intimacy coach. Because in my opinion, it's our intimacy patterns and our intimacy wounds rule every area of our life, some way, somehow. They can have an impact in every area, in the way we connect to people, the way we relate to our business, the way we relate to ourselves, especially, you know? So this is, for me, fascinating. It's one of my favorite topics in the world. And yeah, that's basically how I got here.
That's so awesome. It's such a unique path. Can you tell me a special story about, say, the most recent breakup you've ever had, And what were some of the kind of breakthroughs or realizations or processing that you had to go through while being or experiencing that breakup and, of course, running your business as a coach?
Yeah. Okay. So would you like me to focus right now on the piece of the healing the breakup, or like how they work simultaneously with running the business? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Feel free to... maybe we can start with your thoughts, your experience, and feel free to share as much as you can.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so the breakup was about 6 weeks ago. It's really not that long ago. However, I feel very, thankfully, I'm very equipped with tools, with ways to process grief and pain, right? So what happened is the first few days, obviously, is when the body, the nervous system is so in shock, right? You are like, what the heck is happening? What's gonna happen now? Like this big uncertainty, right? And that's like the biggest shock. The first few days, I was just like, ooh, okay, what needs to happen here, right? And then fortunately, this past breakup for me was a very conscious one, and it was a very gentle, and you know, that it wasn't a toxic relationship or anything like that. And it was a very conscious decision, right, that happened. And obviously that doesn't take away the pain, right? But it makes a difference that it's not a dramatic and toxic rupture, right? So after the first few days, the first thing that I got the intuition for was, I'm not going to isolate, because that's one of the main things that happen for most people. The first thing that your mind says is just like, go and hide. You don't want to see the world. You don't want to talk. You don't want to, right? Like, this is what I see time and time again with women that I work with, even with friends, you know, it's like this instinct to, I just want to isolate. So for me, intuitively, what happened was like, now that you're feeling this pull to isolate, reach out, lean into your girlfriends. And that's what I did. Like, if you remember, that's what I did, like in the WhatsApp group, like leaning into the girlfriends and like, ladies, this is what happens. This is what's happening right now. And literally, I let you guys know probably just a couple of days after it happened. I was like, I'm just going to intentionally lean into my support system, and I'm not going to hide, because I know that if I go hiding, I'm just gonna spiral into my own thoughts, into my pain. And right, like, there has to be a balance of, yeah, giving ourselves the space to process and also to lean into the support system. That's the first recommendation that I will give to anyone going through a breakup. This is really important. Right. So after I reached out and just went ahead and talked to my coach, and, you know, it's like literally getting all your gang behind you. It's like, this is what's going on. Right.
It's like your Justice League.
Exactly. I'm just
Assembling
like,
your
here
Justice League.
we go. Here we go, right? Like my whole army, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that was crucial. That was a very important piece, right? To let yourself be witnessed, let yourself be held, be supported, right? And then from there, I was just like, okay, here we go. It's time to heal. It's time to process. It's time to, it's with the intention, this balance of I'm gonna hold myself. I'm going to hold myself with so much love and compassion, and I'm going to support myself to heal. And also, I'm going to continue moving forward because life doesn't stop, right? It's like sometimes the mind will say, like, people going to depression, or it can be very hard. And I understand that we all have different levels of tolerance for pain, and it's different for everyone. However, something that I think that really applies is to keep in mind that you deserve to continue moving forward, that whatever you do it for yourself, right? Do the healing for yourself, keep holding yourself, keep giving yourself the love, the care, the compassion. And yeah, that's basically what kept me really, what was guiding my whole path of healing. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's very challenging because at that time there is a certain thing about breakups with a partner, a romantic partner, who that really shakes your world, right? It's different. It's different from losing your wallet. It's different from getting a wound because you fell from a motorcycle. It's different. It really shakes your being in a certain way. Partially because of how we view love and our thoughts on eternal love, or however we interpret that. And that is the promise. When you have a romantic partner, you are heading towards that, right? And so, depending on your dreams, marriage, travel, owning whatever, homes, building a $1 million business, whatever your dreams are, you feel like all of these things were kind of taken away from you. And that's such a big feeling to have. And I totally agree with you. You have to make space for it. Did you encounter any problems, or not necessarily problems, maybe just things that were a little bit difficult for you in terms of handling your business during this time?
Yeah, actually, I think I've gotten really good at navigating hardship in my personal life and running a business, right? It's not like it's not the first time I'm going through something hard in my personal life. So thankfully I have some practice on that. So, but what really has helped me, or the challenge that I would have encountered maybe is the days that you just feel like you don't want to do anything, right? The day where you're so exhausted emotionally, right? And this is something that is important to understand and to remember, that processing heartbreak, actually, I don't know if you have heard this, but I heard recently that heartbreak hurts as much as breaking a bone. I've never broken a bone, but I'm sure that's really freaking hard and difficult, right? So it's like it really sends these signals of pain in your heart, in your body, and the emotional processing is very exhausting. So definitely, I had days where I was like, I don't want to do anything right now. I just want to lay down. I just want to drink tea. I just want to cry. I just want to feel sorry for myself, and definitely had those days. And it is important to give yourself that space without making it wrong, without being beating yourself up, like when you have the little devil just beside you talking to you and being like, hey, you should be working right now. Hey, you have deadlines here. Hey, you're supposed to be doing this, right? It's like, for me, a rule of thumb when I'm going through heartbreak or something hard in my personal life is the human comes first. The human comes first, right? Like, yes, we definitely have responsibilities in our business. And I am a person that I will not, I don't like being canceling calls, for example, on my, with my clients, or I don't like moving deadlines just for any reason. However, I know that if it's really needed, if I'm like really like going through the depths of a heartbreak, I would do that. However, I love my job so much and I love what I do so much that I never had to cancel one single call during this breakup. You know, that's nice. Like I was just like, you know, Tuesdays is my coaching day, and I was like excited for my coaching days. I was excited to pour into my clients and pour into my business. And here is another approach that I really was practicing in this healing process, is grief is basically love that got its wings cut off, right? It's like you cannot pour that love anymore into that relationship or that person. So it's like that, the pain of not being able to pour that love into those dreams that you had and that person, it is really, really heartbreaking. So what I did, I was like, okay, now I get to pour this love into my business. I get to pour this love into my clients, into myself. Now I have more to pour, right? And I just, it was just like this rechanneling of love and energy and tenderness and all the attention. And it's been beautiful. That was really helpful for me.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think that it was also kind of a special gift, right? As fucked up as that sounds, you know, and I say that as a joke, it's not fucked up. It is a gift. But there are moments, of course, well, you are down and you said, this is not a gift. This is a hassle or something like that. Right. So it's very nice because your experience is your relationship with your clients are very much rooted in support, love, and like relationship wisdom. What would be your advice, or what would be kind of the difference if it was a traditional job? For example, say I am a personal assistant, or I'm an accountant, or, you know, something like that, a more traditional job. What is your advice for someone, you know, going through a breakup and they have to really show up, not with love, but with their brains and their computing minds and all those things?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what I would say, something that I really advocate for, is in creating us as business owner, creating environments where our employees and the people that work for us get to be humans, right? Like not only treating people as just like, you know, you gotta show up and I don't care if you're going through a breakup or if your mom died, like, no, right? Like it's, I really advocate for this humanness, right? And if on the being on the side of someone that is working for someone else, like a virtual assistant, for example, is also join spaces, join work for companies that allow you to be a human, right? It's kind of normalizing that. Let's try to normalize that. Like your audience, the people that are listening to us, most probably are entrepreneurs, and this is a great opportunity to really advocate for that. Like remembering that we embarked a path of entrepreneurship not to be slaves. Like we did it for the freedom. That's like 99% of the people that I've talked to that created a business has been for the sense of freedom that it gives you. So, but it's easy to get so caught up in the, I have to do this, I have to show up, and we forget why we started it in the first place. But if we are in the entrepreneurial world, in this path, like we get to have that sense of freedom, right? We get to create that for ourselves and to advocate for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you. In my company, I have over like 100 people, and we have what we call paid time off, right? A PTO. And in the Philippines, the leave is usually classified into two, the vacation leave and sick leave. And so the vacation leave should be used for vacation, and then the sick leave should be used if you get sick, and then you have to prove it through a medical certificate. Because sometimes we are a little sick, but you can still come to work. But if you are sick enough that you're not able to come to work, you have to secure a doctor's certificate. So instead of following that, my company actually manages the PTO, and you don't have to even give us a reason why you are having a time off. You could have, say, a bad period that day and you're having really terrible cramps, or your grandma's in town and you want to be present for her, right? Or you want to go to your kid's soccer game, or you've just gone through a breakup and you just needed the time for yourself. So I love the point that you raise on how this is an opportunity for business owners to give the gift of honoring the humans that are working for them and they're building the vision for them in their companies. And of course, for the worker or the person who is doing the job and they're experiencing something, my personal, to add to what you shared, my personal advice for that is I feel like it's a muscle. Try to practice the skill of compartmentalization. In my experience of grief, I lost my parents in my 20s, and I was when I lost my dad, we had over $60,000 in debt, medical bills, hospital bills, and the expenses for the funeral and all of those things. And that was a lot of money. And this is in the Philippines, so that's like millions of pesos, like really a lot of money. And I just knew that I needed to work every waking second, every waking minute. And so it was funny because I even held a meeting at the funeral home because I told the client, I had a client that was in town only for a few days, and I told him, it's my dad's wake. It's my dad's wake. And if you really want to meet, I gotta meet you at the cafe of this funeral home. And they were like, yeah, we really want to talk to you because we have very limited time and we really want to hire you. And I needed the money, of course. I was very grateful. I didn't see it as a sign of disrespect. And so thankfully I was able to execute that huge project. It was a huge client. And I was able to just really compartmentalize. And so it's not easy when you do it for the first time, or depending on what you're going through, depending on the depth of your going through. Of course, a breakup from a boyfriend is different from the death of a parent, but you guys can definitely, you can practice it in your daily life. And you can try to train that muscle so that you're not losing the humanity in you, but you're also not losing who you show up as in your job, especially if you love your job and you love what you do and you feel that purpose. So yeah, did you have any personal experience with a different kind of grief aside from a breakup and then having to run your business?
Yeah, I just before I answer your question, I just want to say that's amazing about the PTO. Like, I love that point, and I hope like the people that are listening right now really take that advice. That's amazing. And wow, like I wasn't aware of this experience that you just shared, and I'm so grateful for being able to like become aware of this and being like, wow, like that is really impressive. Like, to me, it's just like, wow, it's really impressive. So that's amazing. I definitely have gone through a different kind of grief while running my business, which was the death of a best friend. And this was actually more than my best friend. He was my ex-partner. We were together for 9.5 years. So it's been definitely my longest relationship. My entire 20s, I was with him. And then after the breakup, we were really good friends. We were amazing friends, and we were like to the point I had, by the time I had already moved back to Mexico, we used to live together in the UK. And I was in Mexico, but we were like, WhatsApping 3 to 4 times a week. We were super, super connected. And then he's diagnosed with cancer, and
Oh,
only
God.
9 or 10 months later, he passes. It was like super quick.
Oh my
So
God.
I was already building my business. And this is a big difference. Like, back then, I was in the first year of my business, I navigated it completely different. Of course, it's also a very different loss, right? From the heartbreak that I'm going through right now. Nonetheless, it's painful, right? Both situations. So back then, I remember I literally had to stop everything. Like, I could not, I didn't have the capacity in me to show up in my business for probably a week. I was like, for an entire week, I was like, no, I can't do this. Fortunately, I had the support, you know, around me to be able to just completely not do anything. But something that I want to say about that is that there is a difference in my capacity to hold, to compartmentalize, like you just said, right? Like back then, I had limited capacity in my nervous system to hold that, to hold the grief and to hold a business. I just didn't have that capacity. And if I can advise something here for anyone listening, is develop that capacity to hold multiple things at the same time. And it's something that takes time, definitely, but it's like a nervous system capacity. And the reason why I really advise to develop this capacity is not only so you can keep working when you're grieving, but it's also because it's this ability to hold big energies in your body, in your nervous system, which are needed, for example, when you run a $1 million business, when you have, you know, like more clients than you ever had. It's that if you can hold that big energy, right? It's like this training. It's like a training, right?
Exactly.
And the other thing that I wanted to say about compartmentalizing, which I like this word, how do I put it? So it's about, okay, some advice that I can give around that is, I've been able to show up while I'm grieving and while I'm healing my heart at this time. And I'm able to compartmentalize mostly because I have the tools to grieve. When I give myself the time to cry, to punch pillows, to yell into the freaking pillow, you know, it's like, it's because I give myself the designated spaces to heal and process. So when I come in my business, I'm clear in my energy. My body feels light. Otherwise, when you're outside your business and you are in your normal life and you go suppressing your emotions, suppressing the crying, and just distracting yourself with alcohol, sugar, party, you know, like this is like a tendency that people have because we're wired to distract ourselves. We don't want to go into the pain.
To numb ourselves.
Exactly. Numbing and distraction. So something that I really advocate for is don't ignore your emotions. Don't push them. Don't push them down. Don't suppress them. Your ability to process them, to feel them, it's like they say the only way out is through. So it's like go into the darkness. Go into the pain. Let the pain of the heartbreak like really break you and you will be okay on the other side, you know?
Right.
Like the mind can tell us like, what if I don't come out on the other side? What if I stay there forever? You won't stay there forever, you know?
Yeah.
Like you won't. So let yourself feel the pain so when you come back to the business, then you can hold more, right?
Wow, I really love that point because I definitely remember the time when I didn't handle a breakup properly. I remember this, one of the worst breakups I had. I think it was in 2016. I had this boyfriend. We weren't together for very long, just a few months, but I felt like it was so deep and it was so intense. And looking back, I now see all the red flags and all the signs that it wouldn't last. And the most shocking and hurtful part for me was, we had a relationship. It was great. Everything's awesome. We started to live together, I think on the second month. And then it was a regular day. I went to the mall, I went shopping. And then he was like, yeah, I'm going to go shopping too, but at a different mall. When I got home, he got me a Hello Kitty mug. And I was like, oh, this is so cute. Thank you so much. And, you know, I was very happy. And then he said, and I was very shocked about this. He said, yeah, I wanted to give you something to remember me by before I leave. And I'm like, what? And he's like, what? Is this like a prank? Am I getting punked? And then he was like, yeah, so I don't think that we have a future. And so blah, blah, blah. Of course, at this point, I can't hear him properly. And so I booked a flight tomorrow. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
I feel like I was just hit by a bus. I didn't see it coming. And it was so hurtful for me. I felt like I was just, kicked to the curb and, like, bye, I felt worthless. And then I don't, I really remember this. I ate fast food for like 7 days straight. I didn't leave my house. I almost didn't leave my room. I just cried a lot and watched TV. And there was a point when, like, the fast food, like, containers or boxes, I just kept pushing them under my bed, and I was so depressed. It's so embarrassing sharing this. Until my one of my best friends, my gay best friend Jesse, he was like, "Hey, how are you? Are you okay?" Because I told him that I broke up with John. That was his name. And then I told him what was going on, and he was like, "Nope, this has to stop. I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna, like, help you clean your house, and let's go out. I don't care." And I was like, "No, I'm so ugly. My eyes are swollen," and I had all these excuses. And he was like, "Nope, you're not ugly. We're gonna go out." And then when we got there, he helped me, pick myself up, and we went out, and I felt better, obviously. But my big realization for that is, even though in that moment I was doing what you said, the, let the feelings flow through you, just feel how you feel, the way out is through. Even though I was doing that by principle, the other thing that was missing, in my opinion, was my sense of self-worth. I think that at that time when I was younger, I didn't have a lot of self-worth. And so I was choosing to do things that are bad for me and bad for my body to cope. And I think now, or after that, my future, breakups after that, basically, I had way more self-worth. And every time there would be a breakup, I now had the thought, or the priority, that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat fast food and drink alcohol. I'm going to do other things, like journal. I journal a lot. I love journaling. And I'm gonna, meditate more, or I'm gonna take a walk in nature. So I think the big difference there is really working on your self-worth. Just to add to what you shared, it's also a huge thing of the looking inward part of dealing with a breakup.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you shared this story, because there is a big difference, and this is so important to mention. There is a big difference between, like, people go, like, for example, what you did, like, 7 days in your room and just cry and eat fast food and feel sorry for yourself. Like, that's not what I'm talking about when I say feel your emotions. It's like there is a difference between doing that, because I can picture that image that p many people can do that, but it's like really indulging in the feelings of I'm not worthy, and just telling yourself all the stories why you were
Exactly.
left, or
Exactly.
like, and it's like really indulging in the ego stories. And
Right.
what I'm talking about is processing, learning to process your emotions from an empowered place. What does this mean? I know this is like a very new concept for people, right? Like, I only learned to process my emotions like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And when I started this,
Exactly.
I was like, what the heck? Why wasn't I taught this when I was in school? This should be education that we have to get as
Real,
children, right?
yeah.
So now, is what I mean by processing emotions is I'm a very, very spiritual person, and I create a ritual. That's what I mean when I say designated space. You create a space where you go and cry, where you go and process. A lot of the emotions during a grieving process is sadness, is rage. If you're feeling the rage, like, that's why I punch the freaking pillows and I take out that rage, because when we do it in a sacred way, in a safe way and designated space, then we don't take it onto people. Like, we can push it down and then we take it onto people, like, randomly. You explode and you become a very reactive person. And
Right.
that's not who we want to be, right? So processing it healthily means really, creating that space. And another very important point here when we're grieving is self-care piece. Like you said, you were just eating like fast food and not taking care of yourself. Like, this is the self-care, like the basics is crucial, right? Moving your body, hydrating yourself, because when we are processing all of these things, our nervous system is fried. It's like, you know, our executive functioning, which is like our prefrontal cortex, is not working. It's overridden by the heaviness of the emotions. So
right. In
all this craziness, it's so important to give ourselves extra self-care. Like, I'm the queen of self-care. I usually go like to the spa 3 to 4 times a week, at least, to the sauna, the steam room, walks on the beach, you know, all the time, like working out daily, sometimes twice a day. And all this habits have been really strengthened during this healing, this heartbreak,
right?
Because that is crucial. And anyone that is going through this, like, please, I know that you will have this impulse or this like temptation to just distract yourself with a glass of wine every night, or just like go and have empty sex, or you know, whatever,
right?
Please avoid that. Like,
right.
This is a time to double down on your self-care. That's super important.
Exactly. No, I love that, because if, you know, it is a journey of healing. And so if you think about it, you gotta do healing things, right? Is drinking a healing thing? Is meaningless sex with a stranger at the club a healing thing? No, eating shit food, it's not a healing thing. So you guys gotta, you know, flip the script and look and ask yourself, what are things that are healing to me? So I love that you shared something as simple as hydrating. You know, you're crying all the time, bitch, you're dehydrated. So,
yeah.
Just from so the funny. Crying, you're already, that's 2 liters every day.
Yeah.
You know, when I cry, also like you're masturbating. So, you know, you're dehydrated. So, you're just crying, your self-care. Yeah, so something as simple as drinking water, like you said, eating healthy food, food that make you feel good, you know, your body. Remember, guys, that all of your cells are all rooting for you. They want you to live. They want you to feel good. Every single cell in your body is rooting for you. You want to heal from this heartbreak. They want you to heal too. And so you just got to also show up for them and show them, and show them that you're in this together, basically. Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. I think some of the things that I also like doing when I am going through something, but also running a business, is I spend a lot more time serving mm-hmm. other people, because it brings me back to my purpose. And this is scientifically proven, when you help other people or make other people happy or help other people grow, it is a positive feeling for you, and it also helps you heal. So I actually genuinely double down on serving my clients too, or just making them, making their day better, giving something extra for them. And of course, I believe in the law of karma, and maybe, you know, if I can get extra points, extra karma points, it will come back to me someday, right? What do you think about that?
I really love this, and it touches a little bit on the point that I said earlier. Like, the way I framed it was like, oh, I get to pour into my business, like double down on pouring into my business, pouring into my audience, like creating more content. It's like, that's another very important point, that we get to transmute our pain and our heartbreak into art. Any
right.
kind of art, right?
Right?
For me, writing a piece of content for me is like art. I love like getting like creative, and how can I put this in a more poetic way? And it's
right.
just something that I really have fun with.
Right, exactly.
Excuse me. So we get to alchemize and put that into creativity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our business needs creativity too. So we get to do that. It's definitely like a way of giving, right? Like to your point, is giving will give us that sense. It's a positive sense, and it's beautiful to do it for ourselves too, right? Not just for to prove something or to get something in return, but just for the feeling of giving is beautiful.
Yeah. I wanna touch more on that topic. So that is definitely a very good idea, right? Like giving more, pouring a lot more love to your clients, or even to your employees, right? The people who are in your business, but sometimes it could go overboard, and we go overboard and then we use overworking as a trauma response. What are your thoughts on that, and how can we avoid this from happening? Because to be honest, I've had this experience personally. I would just overwork myself to avoid the feelings, and then I would be like, well, you know, my business loves me. My business will never not love me. And my employees will never not love me. My clients will never not love me. And so there were times that I would use my business as my den, as my yoke. And I would just kind of, as my soft landing. Yeah, as my soft landing. And I would just kind of sit there and then keep working. But also I don't realize that I'm using work as a trauma response. What is the limit, and how can women, I mean, everyone basically, avoid this from happening?
That's such a good point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because there is this nuance, right, about I'm going to pour into my business while I'm healing, but it's what it means. There is this difference between I'm going to just like overwork to distract myself because I don't want to feel my feelings. I don't want to feel my emotions. So I'm just going to distract myself. So that's a different thing from what we're talking about, right? And for me, the main thing here is the mindset shift. It's like, I get to pour into my business and my clients because I have poured into myself too. So I am pouring to myself first, right? Like going back to the point that I said earlier, like the human comes first. Yes, you get to pour into the business, like you get to show up, but the human comes first. So when I have given myself time to process emotions, to journal, to feel, to cry without indulging in the negative stories, right? From a healthy place, then, oh, okay, now I feel lighter and I have energy and I have space and I have the stamina. Okay, now I get to pour into my business, but I have given to myself first. I think that's the main thing, because if I'm just waking up and running to my laptop and shoving coffee all freaking day, just because I'm just like hiding from, I don't want to feel the pain of the heartbreak, that's a different story, right? That's when we're going to end up burnt out and we're going to end up in a very different situation, unhealthy, very unhealthy, right? So yeah, for me, even what it looked like was, depending on the day, if I woke up like feeling really sad or feeling really, you know, needing to process things, I would give myself the first 3 or 4 hours, the whole morning if I needed to love myself, to love my body. I would go on exercise and I would cry and I would go for a massage, you know, like really giving myself the love I needed. And then by midday, like, I'm like, okay, I'm cool now. I'm feeling a lot lighter. I'm feeling a little, you know, like I'm just showing up from a fuller cup, right? It's like I fill my cup, now I get to pour into my business. Now I got to show up. But that's the main thing, is really, are you loving yourself, right? It's not about just giving, giving, giving without tending to yourself first.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that nuance that you mentioned, that, you know, the human comes first. And if you're the one serving and giving to your clients, you got to be able to give from a space of overflow, from a space of abundance, and from a space of wholeness, right? Another thing that I wanted to also raise, this is a little bit more practical, but I also would love to remind people who are going through a breakup and running a business, try not to make bad financial decisions. This is a little tricky because, you know, sometimes girls, we have, I mean, let's admit it, ladies, we have a tendency to like go shopping, right? Retail therapy is cheaper than therapy. And we say things like that. And shopping is even though it's not as bad as like drinking or drugs, well, depending on your credit, or how much money you have, sometimes it could be bad. It is damaging sometimes. I've definitely been in that situation where I thought that I could just use money to kind of mask how I was feeling or help me feel better. And even though, of course, your business would be in a great financial place to support that, but you're kind of pushing it. You're pushing it already, right? Or you go into debt, use your credit card to purchase something that you feel will soothe your feeling, like an Hermes bag. Well, you know, that's $30,000. So that's unless you're a millionaire, you know, that's not a drop in the ocean. So it is still a significant purchase. Or you book yourself a trip because you want to YOLO. So how can we avoid making these bad financial decisions when we're trying to like soothe ourselves or go through a breakup? How can we just rewire our priorities so that we can make better decisions?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I think this is so common for us women, right? Like we love shopping, and online shopping is so easy. Like it's like, yeah,
it's
let's
so soothing.
Do it.
Yeah.
but for me, for example, the main thing is ask yourself, why am I making this purchase? Like, am I just trying to get the adrenaline hit? Because adrenaline is addictive, right? And it can give us a moment of happiness. It can give us like some soothing sensation, like you said. Am I doing this just to get the short-term satisfaction, right? Because there is nothing wrong with shopping for satisfaction, right? When we get to have whatever the fuck we want. But are you doing it just because you want this short-term, this instant gratification? Or, you know, like when I'm like not sure, when I check in with myself and I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm just doing it for the instant gratification. My rule of thumb is like, I'm going to wait and I'm going to order this tomorrow. You know, I'm going to come back to this tomorrow and I'm going to see, you know, like if I still want it tomorrow, if I still feel like I really want it, I can get it tomorrow. Like that is, it's not a big difference for one day, but it's just like taking that time. That's important. And then the other thing is like, I only go into the shopping apps like Amazon or whatever I go. Like I just do it when I'm in a place of like regulated. That's for me also something that I always check in, right? Like sometimes,
that's a good tip.
Yeah, it's like if I have been working for like 5 hours straight and I had already 2 cups of coffee, that's not when I want to go into Amazon, right?
That's
like
good.
I will
that's
make
a really
bad
good tip.
Decisions.
Yeah, I gotta remember that. Don't tell my husband that. He's gonna remember that when I go shopping. Are you regulated?
Right.
Before you go to the Chanel store.
Exactly, right.
Let's have a breathing exercise.
Exactly, right.
Let's do some breath work.
I will do my shopping when I have, you know, I already went to the sauna, I moved my body, I do the things that I need to do to take care of my body, and then like, okay, now I can make this kind of decisions, right? So there is another piece that I really want to say around this that is something that has been big for me during this breakup is I really adopted this mindset of, okay, now I am by myself. He's the one that moved out. So I am in a paying the highest rent I've ever paid in my life, right? So I'm like, with breakups, there is this financial turmoil that always happens, right?
Yeah,
with the any life
exactly.
transition,
exactly.
that is like this financial thing. And it's adding up to our already fried nervous system because of the heartbreak and then the financial piece. So as a form of self-love, take care of your finances when you're there, right? Like be... That is like a form of self-love for me. And what I did was like, I was freaking out at the beginning, right? Like, oh my gosh, now everything is on me, rent, service, all of the things, right? Because it's just me now. And I really wanted to keep this apartment. I didn't want to move out. So I was like, I'm going to show myself that I get to do this. I'm going to show myself, you know, it's like, I'm going to love myself this way by making it happen. I'm going to give myself this gift of being in the neighborhood that I want to live in the location of the country that I want to stay in the apartment that I want to stay in. And it's like really stepping into this healthy sense of independence, this healthy sense of like, I got myself and I got my own back, right? And not because, not from a place of like pain or wound when we say like, I don't need no man, or I, blah, you know, like not from a place of close-heartedness, right? I don't, like, I love my ex. He's an amazing man. And I never came from that place of like, I don't need you or fuck you or nothing like that. No, it's like, I get to do this. This is my opportunity. That's how I see things. I see heartbreak as an opportunity for you to grow. It's not like you're healing only to be, quote unquote, back to normal, or only to calm down and be like average. No, it's like, I'm going to use this heartbreak as a doorway to a better version of myself. I'm going to come out of this as a better than I was even when I was in the relationship, you know, and right. even before the relationship. So it's like, I'm building this reinvented version of myself, and I'm right. very excited for that. Right. And that includes really taking care of my finances. That's really right. it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it, because I think the common thread really in everything we talked about is consciousness, being conscious, being one with your intention, and being, you know, taking time to breathe and really think about what you're doing instead of just doing things wayward, which is obviously what you and I did in our early 20s when we were immature, when we were young and we were immature. Right. So that's what we used to do. But now, you know, there's no space for that anymore. And I just want to add a teeny, teeny point on what you said, that, you know, you love your ex and you want to be whoever your future boyfriend, husband, partner is. You want to be better for them, too. You know, of course, you want to be better for yourself. And this is an opportunity because, you know, the universe is preparing you for that one great love. Right. If you guys believe in that. This is also why it's 10 times more important to get into relationships more consciously and to get into relationships with people who will not fuck you over even during your breakup. Because I'm not gonna, you know, lie and say that this doesn't exist, but I think the breakups that we're discussing right now are pretty mild compared to others. Some people have had their exes steal from them or fuck their company. You know, because they were working together or something. Some of them have had their exes mess with their credit because of their lease agreement, you know. So, you know, during a breakup, even though there is a separation of the physical closeness and, of course, your finances, whatever your arrangement is, it's so nice to be in conscious relationships with the people you choose to date when you're dating, right? Because no matter what happens in the future, you're gonna be fine. They will not fuck you over. And I hope that this is a message, you know, for all of the single people to really, really think about, that not just to date for other more superficial reasons, or, you know, obviously you learn that as you go and the more relationships you have. So do you think that men and women deal with breakups and do business differently? And what did you notice from your ex in terms of, also just a little comment on what you noticed with how he also dealt with his business during your breakup, just to have kind of a male, you know, a window into the male perspective, not a male perspective, but a window into it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I cannot give you a male perspective.
Yeah, you gotta get a sex change and then come back to this podcast.
So I definitely, I think that we navigate things differently, because women are more emotional, like naturally, we are more in touch with our emotions. Not to say that men aren't, right? But it's like, I'm a very, very, like, maybe this is clear by now, but I'm super in touch with my emotions. I'm very embodied, right? I embody every single kind of emotion. And the difference is, well, my ex is also, for a man, he's super in touch with his emotions because he's a conscious man. He's done the inner work to be that way. However, men naturally have this drive for purpose, right? Like, they're more like, women can be definitely that, but it's, for men, is their number one thing, you know. It's like, I don't know if you know Alison Armstrong, like, highly recommend her book. She's been studying men for 25 years or something like that. Like, she's, something that she says is like, for a woman, the number one thing is always going to be love and relationships. Even if you are an entrepreneur, a million dollar business owner, like love and relationship is like the number one thing for a woman. And for a man, his purpose is always going to be the number one thing, no matter how in love he is, no matter, like he can be deeply in love and have a beautiful family and be very dedicated to his family, and his purpose and his mission is always going to be the number one thing. It's just hard, the way they're hardwired, right? It's the way men navigate that. So that makes a lot of sense that, you know, during a breakup, definitely I kept contact with my ex for the first month. Right now we're not in contact. We're just like, we decided to give ourselves some space to continue healing in a really good terms. But the first month when we were in contact, he did share that sometimes it was hard to focus. The first couple of weeks, it was really hard to focus because the emotional charge and all the processing, it was hard to really focus on his work, but he never stopped working, right? Like every single day he would do something and he would be working, and that actually, when the heaviest part of the grief, for what I understood, I'm not going to, you know, say things like for certain, but according to what he shared, after like the first 2 to 3 weeks, everything got like really, he had more stamina and energy and also to pour into his business. And he was very motivated. And the last time we checked in, he was like, I'm thriving and everything is going amazing. And my business has even like, it's going better. And he was sharing all these wins with me. So it makes sense, right? Like we actually became better people when we broke up. That's the truth, right? We were checking in and we were like, we know that we made a good decision because we really became a better version of ourselves as soon as we broke up. Like both our businesses are like thriving. And we are like fitter. We both are losing weight. Like we're glowing. We're like, yeah, that means we made the right decision.
Glow up. You're just going to high five when you see each other like, yo, exactly. Nice one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Nice one, bro. And he'll be like, yeah, sis. Oh, it's funny. I mean, you know, we laugh about it because that's the energy, really. Mm-hmm. Wishing each other the best, wanting the best for each other, wanting each other's business to grow and health to be good, each other to glow, be healthy. Yeah, that was amazing, you know. And the weight loss is like a positive thing. It's not because of the loss of appetite, or you know, maybe you were walking in nature more, or you know, something like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely exercising a lot more because intentionally, I you know, for to give my body more movement. Now we used to share the walks for the dog. One in the he would do it in the morning, I would do it in the evening. Now I have to do all the walks.
All of the walks. Exactly.
So all of the walks, more exercise, and just like eating really healthy. And because I've been taking care of myself so well, and like the weight is just like flying off. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you.
Right. Exactly. And another point that I also want to mention is that it's such a different kind of energy post breakup when you are focused on yourself versus you're focused on wanting to be wanted again. I've had breakups where, you know, when I was younger, obviously, when I was single, I just felt so incomplete. And my next like goal was to get a boyfriend immediately. You know, when I was younger, like in my early 20s, my friends always made a joke that 2 weeks is a long time for me to not have a boyfriend. They always made a joke about that to me. And I realized, obviously, I think I had my first kind of really super serious relationship. I think I was 26 or 27. So in my early 20s, I was just dating, but I've always had a boyfriend. And every time I would have a breakup, I would cry. It would hurt. And then I would just be focused and I would do the self-care things so that I would be pretty for another set of eyes, for another man. And so once again, the intentionality and the energy is going in the wrong direction, right? Like now looking back, I can tell myself that it was the wrong direction, and it's different compared to just doing these things for yourself, filling yourself with love, being healthy, and losing weight and exercising because you love and honor your body and you're grateful for what it does for you and for your business too, right? Your brain, your mind, you're optimizing it. So I think that that is also a trap that you know, we need to be mindful of, especially when you're running a business, because you just had a breakup, your ego is shaken, and you just want to feel attractive. And now you refocus onto finding the next boyfriend or the next hookup or something. That could also not be a very good thing for your business, because you could be attracting the wrong energy from other people.
Right. Yeah, that's such a good point. And I love this story because I think, you know, when we're in our 20s, I'm not going to talk for anyone, but for everyone, but I relate to that, you know, in my 20s, like be looking always for that validation from someone else, like leaving a relationship and running into the next relationship and doing all the things to look good for another person. And the big difference for me now, being more conscious, is I'm doing all of these things for myself. I'm not doing it for anyone else. And I have a little story around that. Like after the first month of the breakup, I was so like feeling okay. I processed most of the grief. Like I'm like, it felt like 90% processed, and it was like very clear. I felt very light. I wasn't crying every day anymore or anything. And I was like, okay, it's time to jump back into the dating apps. And that's what I did, like only a month after. And then I go into the dating apps and I started talking to people. And then after the first date I went, which was recently, after the first date I went, after the breakup, I realized that my energy wasn't fully clean. I was
right.
There was this, and that it's very important to be honest with ourselves, right? I'm grateful that I went on this date with this person, and then I realized, you know what? I'm looking for some kind of distraction. I'm looking for some kind of validation, because as soon as I feel like I'm not grieving, I jump right back in. And I was like, okay, what if I'm not grieving and I'm not dating either? What if I just can be with the neutrality of my energy right now? What if I can be just like, you know, when at the end of a work day, if I feel quote unquote bored, can I be with that energy? Can I just be with myself in that? And that was like a really beautiful lesson. So close the app again.
Thank you, bro.
Stop talking to anyone I was talking, right? And I'm like, no, I'm just gonna continue just like sitting with myself and being with myself and continue to love myself, right? And until I feel ready again. And there is no right or wrong way to do this. Like there is no determined times that you have to wait X amount of months or whatever, but it's listen to yourself and be honest with why you are doing things, right?
Yeah.
The why is very important.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And I'm happy. I'm grateful to hear your story about, you know, that recent experience. It's great that you kind of like gave it a try, right? No harm. But it was also great that you were able to just like pause and really read through your own emotions and your own intention and how you were feeling. Because when you come into a relationship not whole, that's just going to hurt the relationship. You're going to end up hurting yourself or the other person, and they're going to receive you in a very different way. That is probably not even the perfect representation of yourself. So it still won't be a good match, right?
Exactly.
And the
energy that you bring into any dynamic, into any dates, any person that you meet, like the energy that you are coming from is going to determine what type of people do you attract into your field too, right? Like talking more about like energy levels, right? Mm-hmm. We attract the same what we are. We attract what we are. So we're coming into the dating world from a place of I need validation and I feel incomplete and this kind of thing. We're going to be attracting toxic dynamics. So if you want to attract, you know, if you want your next relationship to be a healthy one, come with a cleaner energy.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. And it's, you know, it to some people, believing about energy or understanding how energy works might be new, but honestly, if you just take a pause and look at your past experiences, you will see certain patterns, not just in relationships or in romantic relationships, but even accepting a job offer or doing a home project, that when you know, there's that intuition of not feeling right, not the energy not being whole, you will see patterns of just following the energy would have been more beneficial for you. So I would love to invite our listeners to even just sit on that thought, journal on it, think about it, and really so that you guys could see where we're coming from. You know, when Eliza and I talk about how powerful energy is and how it dictates a lot of things in our lives, in our business, in our health, and our relationships with other people. So, wow, this is a very, very rich conversation.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we're recording this and not just drinking matcha and staring at the forest.
That was good too.
That was good too. Thank you so much, Eliza, for sitting with me here, having this super meaningful conversation. I'm 100% sure we're going to help a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs, people going through breakups, and even just people dealing with grief with all of the wonderful advice that you gave. So thank you so much, you know, obviously on behalf of my community. And I'm sure a lot of them would love to know what you're up to, know what you're working on, you know, and that, know what you're pouring your love into. So please share with us how we can find your work, how people can start working with you, and what they could expect when they come into your world.
Yeah, thank you so much. So where I hang out the most is Instagram, at I am Eliza V. I'm sure you can add that link in the show notes. And what you can expect is I create like very empowering content for women, and I talk about the real stuff, just as I shared here. You can find like really real life things, right? And I love empowering women and just like let you know that you're not the only one going through the hardships that you're going through, and we get to heal together. So come and hang out.
Exactly. Yes. So we're gonna link Lisa's Instagram at the show notes. So feel free to check it out, give her a follow. And of course, if you have any comments about this episode, feel free to DM me on Instagram as well. I'm going to link it as well. Or you can post it as a reply to this episode. So thank you so much, Eliza. And of course, thank you to my team at Proximity Outsourcing. If you're going through a breakup and you really, really feel you can't be present to your business, well, you can just outsource that and you know where I am. So thank you guys for having this, you know, sitting with us on this super amazing and meaningful episode. We wish you all the good energies, whether you're going through a breakup or not. Thank you so much, Eliza. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Yes, me too. Okay, well, I'll see you soon for sure. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for being here. See you around on Instagram and see you next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.